This morning, we're gathered to worship the Lord, and that's what we've been doing. We've been exalting the Lord. And I want to thank you for finding a place here in this local assembly to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text here in a moment, Christian will read the passage for us. If you want to be turning there, it'll be found in the book of Luke. There in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and specific verses will be verses 13 through 35. If you need a Bible, you can grab one there in the pew nearby or follow along with someone next to you. But I really encourage you to look at God's Word, because really that's where we find the hope. It's not in me or anybody in this church. It's going to be found right here in this blessed holy book, the Word of God. And so, again, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. I just want a quick reminder. Our little ones will be staying with us this morning. We've distributed coloring pages and some crayons. If you need some more of that, if you, one of the little ones did not get it, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will get that to you. Is there anybody like that? Okay, we just need, yes, Blair, we'll get you one too, all right? We need one for Truman right up here. Truman, raise your hand. Ah, there you go, buddy. Greg, just coloring sheet and crayons there. And so we just want them to be encouraged as well. Thank you, young people, for staying with us today. Not that you had a choice, but thank you for staying with us and listening to the message very intently. And please just enjoy what God is going to do in this service. And so at this time, I'm going to ask my brother, Christian Heiss, if he would come and read Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and at all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and broke, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told that what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread.
Let's pray. Lord, your word has been read, and we pray that it'll find a sweet lodging place in each of our hearts. I pray that you would bring an awakening. Lord, spiritually in our midst today. I pray that, Lord, we would all be preserved and guarded from distractions. And Lord, I just pray that you would be glorified and honored. I thank you for every single person that is here this morning by divine providence. And I'm asking, Lord, that they would be greatly encouraged in their faith. And if there is someone with us today, Lord, a dear soul that you love and that you died for, perhaps they have not made that decision, that choice, that act of faith to believe the gospel. I pray that today would be that day that they take that step and put their faith in the risen Savior. So, Lord, we commit this all to you in your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is the Lord teaching us through this passage? I want really our focus to be on what is the text teaching us. Yes, we know that it's given an account of two disciples that were distraught like many of the other disciples at this time, and how they're working through that scenario and trying to figure out why is the Lord Jesus supposedly missing? Why is this working out the way it is? This is not exactly what we had in mind with Jesus setting up his kingdom, and this is not going according to plan, at least their plan. And this account is given us of how this is all transpiring and how the Lord Jesus meets them in that place. And I want to encourage you today, just as Jesus meets these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he will meet you in your place. In the journey that you're currently walking now with God, perhaps has you in a deep place, a high place. I'm not sure. Maybe you just feel like you're in a monotony, a place of monotony, and just you just feel perhaps you're in even a rut. I want you to know Jesus will meet you in that place, and he will speak life into you and me, just like he did these disciples. It's quite amazing. I have this picture that you see behind me, and I chose this one on purpose. I don't believe that. You know, some pictures try to give too much definition. We don't know exactly how Jesus looked. We have some ideas, some descriptions that are given, for instance, in the Old Testament. But nevertheless, we don't know for sure. And we don't even know how the disciples looked. But this gives a shot from behind of them walking and the Lord Jesus meeting them on this journey. Quite fascinating, if you really think about the fact that these two disciples are down, they're hurting, they're wondering what's going on, and our Lord shows his true heart. Well, what I would like to do is show you basically what I believe is the road to belief. The road to belief, because at this time they were not believing. Here initially we find that they're doubting. They're wondering, okay, how can this be? This is a scripture that declares a powerful message to us today regarding, don't miss this, we should always take God at His word. We should always take God at His word. In fact, I'll say it like this, if we are going to have a believing heart, we must always first, look to the Scriptures. First thing, we cannot first look to our feelings. We cannot first look to our emotions. We cannot first look to fellow man, brothers and sisters, although they can be a help. We must not first look to our government. We must not first look to all the circumstances falling into the right place. We cannot look to those things, because those things are all things that will eventually fail us. But this is what Jesus is teaching these disciples, and I believe he's teaching you and me this morning on this resurrection morning, as though they just believed, okay, our master's dead. And yes, there's word that he's not in the tomb, but how can this be? I want to tell you, just as he's going to minister to them, my heartbeat in prayer this morning is that Jesus would minister to you in your place, that your heart would be truly encouraged in the great resurrection message of our Savior. We see five aspects of their heart here. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give them to you up forward just so you can know where I'm going. Number one, we see a baffled heart. There was just a confusion there. If you notice in verse 14 and 15, they said they talked together on this road to Emmaus. They discussed these things that had happened. He had been crucified and just was tortured and was put in a tomb. And now they don't know how things are going to turn out. So they're reasoning, how can this be? And then we see as they're walking, one's going to join them. And we know that is Jesus because of the scriptures. Now, to give you an idea, these fellows are walking. It's about, it says, the Bible says 70 furlongs. Well, 70 is 20. And so it's 20 times 3. When you see that in the Word of God, 70, 40, 60. So it's times 20. So what we have here is about 60 furlongs, which if you do the math, I had to actually look it up and figure out, okay, how does that math work out? It's about 7.5 miles. I got to thinking about this later. I'll mention this at the end of the message, but that's a good long walk. Okay. Maybe they were used to walking back then. So maybe it wouldn't be as difficult as it would for many of us. But nevertheless, this is a long walk. At what point Jesus joined them on this walk, we don't know. We do know that it's on the third day. We do know that it's in the evening of the third day, late afternoon going into the evening, because they'll be going to, once they reach Emmaus, they're going to have supper. So they're walking along with a heart filled with complexity and just truly not knowing exactly what was happening. But look what happens here. We also see that there is a broken heart. When Jesus joined himself, it says he drew near and went with them. Now, verse 16 is so important, church, for us to understand the context of this. Notice what it says. But their eyes, when Jesus had joined them on this walk, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. What does that mean? Their eyes were holding that they could not know him. This is what I believe happened. And I believe God is teaching us something so important this resurrection morning. I believe he was teaching these disciples that they could not live their Christian life by sight. He very purposefully blinded them, if you will, to the fact that it was him. Because immediately, if they would have recognized that right away, they would have put all of their attention and confidence in his physical appearance. They're going to catch a glimpse of that here in a minute. But right now, Jesus is trying to teach them that, look, though your heart is heavy and though it's broken, because notice what Jesus asked them. As he begins talking with them, one of the first things he noticed in verse 17, he says, as you walk, he says, and why are you sad? That's in verse 17. I circled that. They were sad. I don't doubt for a moment that there are some people here this morning, and though you're in church, and I'm so glad you are, but perhaps you have a sad heart this morning. And it's because you're focusing on what you can see instead of the sovereign, invisible hand of God working in your life. And what Jesus is wanting to teach you is to get your focus on the scriptures. Because that brings me to my next point. Not only did they have a baffled heart and a broken heart, but notice verse 25 that they're going to have a slow to believe heart. As Jesus begins walking with them, and we're going to see here in just a moment how he's going to expound the scriptures unto them. But I do want you to notice what Jesus noticed about their heart. Again, look at verse 25. It says, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, again, when Jesus started teaching them along the road as they're walking, he starts, as our verses say here, I'm not going to go read through all of them, but he begins to share with them what was taking place. He takes them to the Old Testament. He takes them to the Old Testament prophecies. We know Moses. He was a prophet. He wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And one of the first prophecies that the suffering Savior would come was Genesis 3:15. And then not only there, but we find the prophecies of the suffering Savior in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 50. Psalm 22. We see prophecies of His resurrection. We read that in the sunrise service this morning in Psalm 16. And we could look at so many others. Even in the book of Job, there is the truth that the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, would live again. He would live forever. He would rise. He is the Redeemer. And He would overcome death. There were so many truths that He was getting them and pointing them to in their heaviness of heart, in their unbelieving heart. Even though they were saying, well, listen, have you not heard? I mean, where have you been? To Him, He's a stranger right now. Have you not heard what's going on in Jerusalem? Have you not heard all the stirrings? This is news to everybody. Why don't you know these things? And sometimes I'm like those disciples. Jesus, do you not realize what is happening in my life? Do you not get it? Anybody else ever feel that way? Absolutely. Stranger, why don't you know these things? They still do not know. They're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that is a slow to believe heart. Notice in verse 26, even Jesus again speaks of this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? He's teaching them Old Testament truths. And then to enter into His glory. And then He told them about the teachings of Moses and all the prophets. And He expounded to them. You ought to underline this in your Bible. Expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. Please don't miss that, church. Adrian Rogers says you can cut the Bible on any page and it'll bleed. It'll bleed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on every single page of your Bible that you hold in your hand. Or maybe have in your phone, wherever you have it. The Bible, every page speaks of our Savior. And the purpose of this Bible was to introduce us to the Redeemer of mankind. The Lamb of God. And so as He expounded through them, there something started happening. Something I pray will happen in my heart every time I study the Word, every time I preach the Word. I pray it'll happen here this morning as you hear the Word. There started a burning in their heart. That's number four. There was a burning heart. Notice verse 32. After they listened to the Lord Jesus teach unto them, and I'm going to kind of give a little bit after He, of course, introduced Himself or revealed Himself. But I want you to hear their response and then we'll back up a little bit. But look at verse 32. After Jesus had revealed Himself, notice what happened. They said to one another, did not our heart what? Burn within us. While He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures. The Scriptures, you ought to circle that in your Bible. That's where the focus is, as Jesus is teaching us that our faith must not be by sight, but it must be based on the Scriptures. No matter what, friend. I was of the University of Georgia speaking to a young student, and he was very polite and very kind and respectful. But we were talking about salvation, and his idea of salvation was very, very different from the Bible. And I tried to keep bringing him back to the Bible, but he kept quoting like tradition. But then he started using like hypothetical situations. And I said, well, let's get back to the Bible, because he claimed to believe the Bible. I said, well, what does the Bible say? Well, what does the Bible say? And it's just like, I don't know if it was maybe a habit of his, how he had been mentored, and maybe that's the kind of church he was in. But I said, son, you know, brother, I don't know if he was saved, but I just said, friend, we got to get back to the Bible. Let this be your foundation. And in fact, one of the topics was salvation. He believed that you got saved many, many times throughout life. And then I asked him right there, I said, sir, with all due respect, you say you're a Christian right now. Yes. You love the Lord. Yes. Are you right with God as far as you know? Yes. And I said, well, let me ask you something. Are you 100% sure
that if you were to die today, do you know where you would go? And he kind of looked down as soon as I said that, almost like he was sad. He said, no, I don't know. He says, I don't think you can know. I said, friend, that's an awful way to live. God has already made the way. He paid the debt. And He proved it by rising from the dead. That was the proof that He was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And He rose again. And it was proven by many witnesses. Over 500, as many as 1,000 saw the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been declared through the ages. And as Jesus was, of course, expounding the Scriptures to these disciples, the Bible says their heart burned within them. I wonder about you, friend. I wonder if you come listening, when you come to church to hear the Word of God, does your heart burn to just get on the edge of your seat and say, God, speak. God, speak. Lord, I want to hear what You have to say from the Scriptures. I'm tired of my feelings playing tricks on me. I'm tired of just depending on everything to go right in my life according to my plan. And I'm just sick and tired of being so up and down in my spiritual journey. Lord, set my face upon the Scriptures. The Word of God. That's what He's trying to get these, and it was happening. And that's my last point. They went from a baffled heart, a broken heart, a slow to believing heart. But then I want to show you here from a burning heart, the Word of God was having its place in their life. And then that's to a believing heart. Notice verse 35. After the Lord had revealed Himself, let's go back up for that account because that's the kind of the climax of the story. So we got to look at that. It says that as they got to the end of their walk, the disciples, Cleopas and the other one, Cleopas and the other one constrained him, basically begged him to come in and abide with us because it was toward the evening. It was night. The day was gone. And he went in and he tarried with them. And then they sat down to eat. And he sat at meat with them. He took bread. That's Jesus took the bread. He blessed it. That means he prayed, gave thanks for it. And then he broke it and gave to them. And as soon as that happened, the Bible says their eyes were opened. And they knew Him. And then, please don't miss this, and He vanished out of their sight. Get it? This is what Jesus is teaching them, and He's teaching me and you today. He was teaching them again. I'm leaving immediately as soon as you recognize, as soon as I reveal myself, I'm leaving. Because immediately, you know what they would have to go back to? The Scriptures. They could not depend on His physical presence. Just for a moment, they got a glimpse. And that was a blessing, but Jesus is teaching them and teaching me and you, let's be anchored in the Word of God. Let's be so fixed upon the promises of God and the surety of God's Word that our hearts are just burning within us and we are believing the Lord for salvation and then each day the life He gives us, the journey He has laid out before us. Some have said, how did they know? How did they know it was Him? That is a great question. I'm going to answer it. I don't know. Some speculate there. Some say that they recognized His prayer because He prayed with them in those 3 years of discipling them. Some say it was possibly the nail-scarred hand when He went out to serve them the bread. They saw because He was in His glorified body. Now, he wouldn't have had the blood and things upon Him. But he would have, of course, been cleaned. But in His glorified body, as He's going to show here in just a moment, He would show the disciples in the upper room. He said, look, because they thought He was a ghost. He said, does this look like a ghost to you? He was in a glorified body, although it was a supernatural body. Okay. But we don't know exactly how, other than the fact that I believe, again, Jesus is teaching Brinson Jennings this, and I hope He's teaching each and every one of you this. We cannot live by sight. It's a trap. We'll fall. We'll live a depressed and discouraged life, a hopeless life. Because Jesus said, man cannot live by sight. alone. But man shall live by faith and not by sight. And so I encourage you today, as we think upon these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, how God was working in their hearts, how God was teaching them. What is He teaching you today? How is He helping you in this way today? I believe that the Lord is wanting you to have a spiritual zeal this resurrection morning, a readiness for Christ to speak, a longing for His divine presence, a desire for the Word of God. I wonder if there could just be some Christians here today that would just let this resurrection morning, April 5th, 2026, be a day that you said, you know what? We're tired of just coasting. We want to be committed disciples of Jesus Christ. I could be wrong on this, and if you want to correct me, I stand to be corrected at any time. Please, I want you to know that. I do not know everything. I know very little, in fact, compared to many others. But this is what I believe. When it comes to being a disciple, I believe it's about commitment. I believe it's about us willing to say, Lord Jesus, You gave all for me. You paid for my salvation. There's nothing I can do to earn it. You see, salvation was provided completely by Christ. Does everybody understand that? You cannot earn it. All right? You just can't. And I'm glad, because I certainly wouldn't be able to get it. But it cost me nothing for Jesus to save me. But get this, be careful here. It'll cost me everything to follow Him. It cost Jesus everything to give me salvation. It cost His life. He gave His life. I couldn't do that. He provided salvation for me. But I tell you what it will. It'll cost me everything to be a disciple and to follow Him. Not for my salvation, but to follow Him. That's why Jesus says, if any man come after me, what did He say? Take up his cross. Follow me. That's not a salvation passage. He's not saying if you want to be saved, pick up your cross. No. He's saying if you want to be a committed disciple, it's going to cost you your life. You say, Jesus, You died for me. That's my salvation. I can't earn that. You gave that as a free gift. But what I can do as a disciple, and what He's teaching these disciples, and what He's teaching Peter and John and all the others, and what He's taught all of us all these years and still teaching us here today, is that we need to follow Christ and let it be based upon this blessed holy word. Now, one thing that I love about this account is that when Jesus revealed Himself, can you look at your Bible and just see what they did? This is what I close with. Notice, it says in verse 33, and they rose up, what hour? The same hour, as soon as this happened, and it says, and returned to Jerusalem. There you go. They walked 7.5 miles, learning the Word of God, doubting. Their heads were kind of down below. Even there, their hearts were burning. They were walking the 7.5 miles thinking, oh. And then they started listening to Jesus. Oh, yeah? Huh. That is interesting. Moses did say that. Oh, Isaiah? Yes. Yes, the psalmist, King David, he did write that. I'm sure their hearts are burning, but they're still, it's still kind of like, oh. But when they saw there at the table that the Scriptures were exactly what Jesus was teaching them, that He was the one being prophesied, that's when their hearts came up with belief, and that's when they decided, we're going to live by faith, and they ran all the way back to Jerusalem. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know what is a 10K? Does anybody know how many miles is a 10K? How many? All right, 6.2. Well, this is more than a 10K. These fellas, and I don't know how old they are. The Bible doesn't tell us. They could have been older. And that's not a cut on anybody older here, but it's probably a little slower if they were a little older. But they ran all the way back. They didn't walk, they ran over a 10K because they were excited about going back to the disciples. And of course, when they showed up, the disciples beat them to it, said, "We got news. He's alive. We've heard from the women and Peter. He's alive. He's risen." And of course, then he said, "Yes, we know. We just had supper with him." "We just had supper with him." Maybe it was more like it. Hyperventilating. What a glorious truth that we see here. They ran back with excitement. And may God's Spirit fill each of us here today, that those of us that know the Lord as our Savior, let's leave here today with an excitement. And let's don't be basing life off of circumstances and feelings and emotions and hypothetical situations. Well, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or let's go to the Scriptures. Let's look to the Lord. Let's bow our heads together.